Tim McManus is Vice President for Education and Outreach at the Partnership for Public Service. Tim, what does it mean that we won't see X number of people leaving and X number of new people coming in, that it will be more of a soft transition over the next several months?
Well, I think that's the key, over the next several months. So with soft transition, we know that there are some people who will not be continuing for the second Obama administration, the second term. It means that it is going to be, in probably in a lot of cases, kind of a slow, drawn-out process, that there is no hard and fast cutoff date, and that probably makes some people a little more nervous about really what lies ahead. We don't know if it's going to be the end of January. You don't know if it's going to be the end of January, or does it come next fall, or does it come a year from next fall?
And you can even go into previous administrations and find places where leadership stayed in place for significant periods of time, even entire second terms.
Yeah, absolutely. If you look at the second Clinton administration, about 40% of top leadership turned over. So if you look at it from the turnover rate, yeah, 40% of the people left. That meant 60% of the people stayed, and of that 60%, a lot of them stayed for the full second term. Bush administration, the second term, lost about 65% of its top leadership. Again, that meant 35% stayed. That 35%, you know, largely, if you begin the second term, you tend to hold out for most of that second term in the position as well.
So that does create a level of uncertainty for the career people, because you don't know when or if the person that you're working for or with is going to be there or not be there. How is that different, and what does that mean for people in the career positions over the next, let's say, 6 to 18 months, as this kind of, I imagine it's a pretty delicate dance of, is my boss staying or going kind of thing happens?
Yeah, so it's a great question, Francis. My colleague Tom Fox, the Fed coach, wrote something recently that appeared in the Washington Post, advice for new appointees in the second term. And I think that advice actually goes both ways, not only for the new appointees, but for the career folks as well. And Tom actually wrote this column largely based on some conversations with some former appointees. And one of the things that they had indicated is that first impressions matter. And I think that's clearly the case for somebody coming into an appointee position, but that also is true for those who are in those career positions as well. Not only are they making first impressions on you, but you're making first impressions on them. So make sure that those, you spotlight the things that you really want to spotlight in those first moments, because those are the things that are going to stick. I think, you know, Tom goes on and talks about several things that he thinks are actually key for the new appointees coming in. And I think, again, the same holds true for the career folks. One of them is know yourself and prepare. So, you know, in that, Tom actually talked about really the appointees knowing what they're taking stock of, their strengths, their weaknesses, their leadership style. I think the same holds true for those of you in career positions, which is, you know yourself and prepare. You know that a transition may be possible, and, you know, as days and months go on, that'll become a little clearer as to whether or not your agency is going to have some level of transition. Take stock of what your strengths are. Take stock of what your weaknesses are, and know that coming in, so that you can have those candid conversations with the new political leadership as well.
And one advantage that I think people have, Tim, is that we know exactly where the administration and leadership is likely to go policy-wise. There, most second terms of administrations historically are stay-the-course type strategy-wise, and so it's likely that if you can demonstrate to somebody coming in that you're on board with that, and that you know, kind of, we use the term in Washington, where the bodies are buried, and you know where to show somebody how to find that information that they want in order to continue doing what the agency's doing, would seem to me that's a pretty good space to stake out for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I think one of the things that we all have to keep in mind with this as well is that ultimately we all are on the same team. And, you know, our success is actually predicated on the new appointees' success. And when they come in, similarly, their success is actually predicated on all the career level employees doing things well. So I think if both sides come at it from the perspective of we're not on opposing teams, we're actually on the same team, we're trying to accomplish the same things. So how do we work best together? And I think, you know, those in career positions need to look and say, you know what, I actually may need to reach out to them. There's a lot that's going to be on their minds coming in. Again, they're trying to make good first impressions. They're trying to get a lay of the land. They're trying to figure out where they ought to be going, and the, even the culture of the agency as well. So those in those in the career leadership really need to recognize that, okay, this is somebody new coming in. We actually need to kind of reach out to them and help them understand this. And the better they understand it, the better they, being the new appointee, understands this and gets their feet under them, the more likely your agency is for success. And again, I think, you know, this cuts both ways. Hopefully there are some potential new appointees listening as well, and they're taking stock here and saying, yeah, I need to make sure that I reach out to the career folks as well and figure out how we really get things done within this agency.
Tim McManus of the Partnership for Public Service, you pointed me to some work done by the Boston Consulting Group. The thing is titled Your First 100 Days, Starting Strong as a New Leader in Government. It's really insightful. A lot of people who have been there, done that, are offering some advice here, and we have that linked at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, and I want to call people's attention to that. Is there something magic or particularly important about the number 100 when it comes to getting involved and getting up and going in a government organization? Because we hear that number a lot in this context.
You know, I think the key to that number or whatever that number is a recognition that it is going to take some time. So don't expect that you're going to come in on day one and change the world or change the agency or have it all figured out. Even if you're not going to try to change anything, that you're going to have it all figured out. So it is a process of getting to know the organization, getting to know kind of the ecosystem that you're dealing with, the culture that you're dealing with, understanding really what's been done, how it's been done. That takes a little bit of time. If you're going beyond, you know, that 100 days or so, at that point then you begin to get into the range of, am I going to have any effectiveness or not, based on, you know, I only have 4 years here.